Ok, selon lifestyle, normally, seem to be the easiest star to study, but in fact, it's not so clear because there is not really big effect of macroscopic physics, and the microscopic physics is not so easy to understood. So in fact, these two processes are now studied at the same kind of level. So it's why I suggest to go from the Sun to the other stars, because we have learned a lot of things with the new seismology. And in fact, as mentioned by Jean-Paul, we have not solved a lot of problems, and they are always there. So my talk would be mainly in two parts: the near-surface treatment and the rotation young Sun and activity. And I try to have some time to also discuss some quantum microscopic effect. So it's important to see what we have learned from global observation of the Sun with SOHO. In my opinion, we have three major results. First, we measured the sound speed, the profile of the sound speed, very properly. And here, for example, you can see the absolute value of the sound speed in the core. The vertical error bars are so small that to show them, we multiply by a factor 100. And this result has been confirmed by different instruments, by Bazieux and collaborators. So first from Gulf and MDI, and then from Bison and MDI, I think. Huh? So really, we observe the central part rather precisely. But nevertheless, if we compare with the standard solar model, we have some difference, which is not yet really understood. It could be macroscopic physics, or it could be microscopic physics. It's what we need to answer, because of course, the consequences for the other star are important. The second main issue was the solar rotation profile. And it's true that now we reach a very good result, even in the core, where we see an increase of the rotation. And we see that with very few number of gravity modes. So of course, this result must be confirmed, but we really see an increase, which is at the level of a factor 5, 7. We don't know exactly, but it's important, because we know that the mass of this part, the central part, is practically the half mass of the Sun. So we cannot forget that there is a profile that we need to understand. The third information, which is very promising, is that with global modes, low degree modes that we observe with Kepler, we can have some effect of activity. This is the variability of the frequency with time, and depending if you look to the radial mode, the dipole mode, or the quadrupole mode, you see some different effect. So also connected to the slow deformation of the Sun, and this must be understood, and this is of course connected probably to the magnetic field just below the surface. So taking into account all this information, we need to improve the models, and I shall show you some directions that we are doing just now. Of course, we have not finished any solution up to now. So first, the surface effect. We have had yesterday a beautiful presentation about that, and we are working also on the stagger 3D plots, mainly near the surface. So we consider this kind of cube about 900 kilometers above the surface and 5,000 kilometers below, in order to consider first the present composition that now is well established at the surface, the Aspen composition, and also to see how it can modify the thermodynamic quantities. And this is done mainly by Laurent Piot, in collaboration with Robert Stein and as a collaboration of the PICAR mission. So if you look, for example, to the density profile at the surface, this is only the surface, and the origin is given at tau equal 1. If you look to the surface, of course, and compare Stagger code to ATLAS, generally used in 1D code, you see that there is difference coming mainly from the turbulence, which is naturally introduced in the 3D simulation. And if you now try to introduce the effect of magnetic field, so you put some magnetic field at the bottom of the cube and see the evolution of the simulation, you can notice that in fact, for example, here in the case of an horizontal magnetic field of about 250 goes, we have a suppression of the turbulence of about 20%. So, of course, some effect on the profile of the lamp at the surface of the sun. So, with this kind of simulation, we can simulate what we can observe at the surface of the sun for the different kind of simulation, 1D and 3D. And you see that effectively in 3D, and you can do that for different wavelengths, and for example, PICAR is a mission who look to different wavelengths here, notice, you can see that effectively there is a variation of the radius, I can say like that quickly, of the radius due to the simulation. Of course, if you introduce some magnetic field, you have some intermediate result due to the fact that you inhibit partly the turbulence. So this is what we are doing and what we hope to continue to work on. Here is some preliminary result from PICAR, and you see not the whole sun, but the main external part of the sun, and you see here the result of the satellite, and you see here the simulation, and you see that they follow quite properly, except in this part. And for the moment, we think that it's an instrumental problem, but who knows up to now. In red is the 3D simulation, and in blue is the phenomenological or 1D simulation. So the objective of this work is to perform grading of 3D atmosphere model, as you mentioned yesterday, but with different magnetic activity, and insert them after that in 1D solar model. What we hope to improve, in fact, is the understanding of this kind of features that we observe along the solar cycle, and what we hope also that it will improve the absolute frequency and time after time improve effectively the near surface effect. This is the first subject. I have not a lot of time, so let's go now to the rotation of the young stars, probably, if we need to understand the rotation of the sun. So this is in collaboration also with Joan Marquez and Stéphane Matisse and Anna Palacio. What we observe in Gulf data is some change of gravity modes, at least in six cases, which give us this kind of inversion of the rotation. Of course, it's new result, not extremely strong result, but we believe that because we have also published the global analysis of the gravity modes for 20 different order, and we see also this increase. So we have the order of magnitude of the increase. The order of magnitude of the increase is maybe 2,500 nanohertz in comparison with 450 nanohertz. So it's an increase that we need to explain. And what we have done is to try to use the formalism developed by Jean-Paul and collaborators, which follows the transport of momentum by rotation, to compare some model where we introduce rotation very early during the contraction of the sun and compare. So we have done, in fact, three models. One model which is not really a realistic model, but a model where we suppose that the rotation were extremely small at the beginning and that we don't introduce magnetic braking, and two others, which is a more classic model of rotation, 20 kilometers per second at the arrival of the main sequence, or 50 kilometers per second at the arrival of the main sequence, but with a strong braking, as is observed naturally. What is interesting to notice is that first, we follow from the contraction of stars up to the present time. And what we observe in the case of the sun, in fact, for the different models, for all the models, is that the rotation profile in the core is established very early during this contraction. And as you can see, here is the evolution with time. So we begin like that. And already when we arrive on the main sequence, the rotation in the core is very important and does not evolve a lot during the main sequence. It does not evolve a lot for this kind of star. It's not the same as mentioned Jean-Paul previously for more massive star. It does not evolve a lot because the transport of momentum by rotation is not so large and the advection time is not so large. So the core rotation is induced during the contraction phase, the first million years, and the comparison with the model, in fact, shows that this kind of model is totally reject but what we observe. Of course, first, we have not a rigid rotation here, as is mentioned for a long time, but also the order of magnitude of the core rotation is very different. In fact, the core rotation is speeded in comparison with the rest of the sun, but not so much, and really less than the classical model of rotation. So we suppose that the sun could have an initial rotation only around 10 kilometers per second at the beginning, maybe. But we need, of course, as a star, to confirm that, in fact, during the main sequence, the evolution of this kind of star does not produce an evolution in the core. And the first result that we get in asteroseismology shows the same kind of differential rotation between core and surface. And one need, of course, as a process, to explain the rotation rigidity between 0.2 and 0.65. What is interesting, effectively, is the fact that the meridional circulation is very, very slow in comparison with the meridional circulation in the convective zone. You see here 10 minus 7 centimeters per second. So there is a natural tachocline which is installed during this main sequence, clearly, due to this difference of velocity. Of course, we know that the young sun and the analog of the young sun are more active. And probably we need to introduce a lot of processes that we have never introduced. Mass loss. And if we think about mass loss, we can calculate that in comparison with young analog. And you see that the effect could be not so small in comparison of what we observe for the sun speed if the mass load is important. And this is connected to a problem which is well known by Douglas, for example, the solar paradox, that if the mass of the sun was greater at the beginning of the life, the evolution of mass would be different. But I can say that mass loss is probably the easier to introduce. Of course, we need to introduce magnetic field, and as was mentioned several times this morning, it's not so easy to do that, of course. And if you look to the evolution of a star, a young star, you can see that it's true that at this level, what we call phase zero, the accretion dominates. But in solar analog of two solar masses, we see now that the mass loss dominates by one order of magnitude the accretion rate, and also that there is complex magnetic field configuration. So certainly the pre-sequence modeling must be largely improved, and stellar model must be enriched by all these effects that we have not put in, of course. So the early sun was probably more active and have experienced mass loss that modifies the evolution of the luminosity, maybe less than what I mentioned previously, but nevertheless, certainly so. If the mass loss is sufficient, it could modify the presence of speed and reduce the difference, in fact. Up to 150 million years, the sun is totally convective and could experience a dynamo in its interior that has relaxed as a non-force-free mixed magnetic field. Really, we need to try to model that, and we need to take from the 3D simulation of this kind of phase some input to put in the 1D simulation setting. So, of course, we need some observational evidence for magnetic field in radiative zone. I don't know if we never succeed to reach that, but if we succeed, it would be interesting. But we need also numerical simulation. Just 1 minute. So 1 minute, one or two small things about microscopic physics. First, as you know, there is also neutrinos in the sun. And when we published this seismic model, it was mainly the idea of seismic model was to be able to predict as a observable, like neutrinos, for example. So as you know, probably, I go quickly, as you know, probably there is now 6 neutrino detection of different type. And when you take the result coming from heliosismology, you agree on all the neutrino detected. And this is very important for this community to know that there is a wonderful agreement between acoustic modes of the sun and neutrino detection. But something which could be interesting is that this neutrino improve their detection with time and their quality of detection with time. And for example, they begin to say something of CNO neutrinos, because it's the problem to know if the carbon, nitrogen, and oxygen are the same at the surface and in the central part of the sun. And up to now, they have published just this week a result where they don't solve any problem, because they say the result we get in comparison with prediction is smaller than, the ratio is smaller than 1.5. So we are not 30%, we are 1.5 for the moment. But if they improve their situation, maybe it would be a wonderful conference on CNO in the central part of the sun. So we can question opacity or microscopic diffusion. And it was a discussion of Jim Bellet. I want only to add something about opaque calculation, because they have tried to interpret the result of Jim. And here you see something which is very intriguing, is that they compare the mean Rotrone value to the OP mean Rotrone value, and show, as everybody has said before, that the agreement is quite good within 2 or 3%. But if you look in details to the different elements, you see that you can have difference up to 60%, for example, for nickel or iron, and 30% for the other elements, the intermediate elements. And in fact, they suggest that it could be some compensating effect between elements for different reasons, totally different reasons. One is, for example, for Z equal 12. One is the broadening of the line, and for the element of the iron group, it would be more or less the equation of state, the ionic fraction distribution. So, of course, a lot of problems are open for that. And, of course, the consequence for other stars of other composition would be not so small. Okay, only to show you that in the envelope of stars, because we speak a lot of iron group, if you compare the calculation on the experiment, this is a Hall experiment, You see that in this case, opal is not so good in comparison with OP. So, another thing is that for the nickel, for example, OP is very strange in some case in comparison with other calculations. That means that really we need to look to the calculation in details, and depending on the temperature and density you consider, it's not so clear that OP is better than the other one or opal better than the other one. It's why we have performed measurements. I don't show you the result because it's too early for that. A nickel, iron, chromium, and copper for the this range, the group, the iron group. And we shall organize a second meeting on opacity next spring, probably, when we have some results on calculation and on the experiment. To conclude, I would say that different activities have been developed to better understand the heliocentric result and also the solar light stars. They must be useful for solar elastide, and it concerns the 3D atmosphere, the transport by rotation, the role of magnetic field. They lead to something that could be believed only if one finds a coherent picture between Sun and other stars on rotation, I would say, the first, maybe on magnetic field in some years. This progress could require the introduction of third actor, the gravity waves, and the gravity waves Stefan will speak about this afternoon.
Sorry. Thank you.
For the delay.
I found the last slides on the opacity is very interesting, though, so that's why I let you go on. But question by Doug.
I was interested to see your rapidly rotating core from G-modes. Do you have evidence for latitudinal variation in the angular velocity of the core? Latitudinal variation, difference variation with latitude.
Personally,
if you have both dipole and quadrupole modes.
I would say that already, if we have an increase of the core with six modes, as you have seen, there is an inversion. We seem to show some latitudinal effect. I would be extremely cautious about that. I'm not sure of anything about that. I'm sure that we have seen something which produced an increase of the rotation in the core, latitudinal effect, with, if we have more modes. We continue to analyze, you know, so it's continuing. And in the future, maybe, personally, I don't say nothing about latitudinal effect.
You sound as though you've seen a hint. What is the sign of the hint?
You need to ask to the person who invests this rotation. Personally, because we know that it could be some effect of other modes of the, at the surface with the... I don't want to answer to this question.
There are two mics.
Yes, Sylvain. Could you please show again your graph, one of your graphs, because of sound velocity inside the sun in the with depth, because I missed what is the black curve.
For example, this one?
And I would like you to comment on the details. I mean, why you have a dip below the convection zone and what happens inside the convection zone so that it's
below. I have no time to comment.
Oh, so it's a good thing that I asked the question.
The red one is the standard solar model of SESAM code.
With no diffusion?
The new composition of Alsplun 2009.
Okay.
And the black one is the seismic models we built in 2001. That means a model, a classical model, where we modified slightly the input, for example, 1% on PP reaction rate, some variation in opacity, only to reproduce exactly the sound speed that, as far as we can, the sound speed, and to stop evolution of anything. Because this, if I go in details, for example, the standard models evolve with time, of course, because we introduce, for example, I say, nitrogen 14, P gamma have been modified. So the prediction of neutrinos was changing a long time due to the fact that there is always something new which appears. So this one has never been changed. It's a seismic model that reproduces the acoustic mode we measure with SOHO and with Bayesian.
Okay, that's very interesting. But why do you know why you have a dip below the convection zone and why the curve is going down?
In that case,
yeah, and also inside the convection zone?
Which was including the Tycho Klein at that time. And when we have smooth the radiative zone, we have a small hole. But because it was due, the purpose was to predict modes of gravity modes or neutrinos, we don't take care about that. I don't say that this model is very good for the Tycho Klein, for example. Sorry?
No, it's just interesting for the physical reason.
And after that, for the red curve, of course, we have different models, but I put that for simplicity, introducing the Tycho Klein and not introducing the Tycho Klein effect, I think.
I'm getting severe looks. One last question by Mark.
Oh, okay. Well, I think the point you made on the opacities is a really interesting and kind of important one, because Jim showed that basically his low-density results were in better agreement with the OPAS than with the OP data. Yet if you did the mixture, you found that the Rosslyn mean from those two was actually reasonably close. There were these interesting atomic physics compensating effects. And so I think that that's worth, therefore that's a suggestion that we really need to do the atomic physics properly, and these experiments are quite important for that. On the Faint-Young-Sun paradox, there's one comment I'd have, which is that if we basically think of the mechanisms to enhance the mass loss in the early sun, they're almost all tied to increased rotation. In other words, the sun was rotating faster, it was more magnetically active, it had a stronger corona, those kind of things. And if we look at observations of young sun-like stars, by the time they're about 500 million years old, they're pretty slowly rotating. And much of the Faint-Young-Sun paradox isn't in the first few hundred million years, when mass loss could really have a very, very big impact. Much of the Faint-Young-Sun paradox is when the sun is 2 billion years old and it loses it has an oxygen atmosphere. And so as a result, I think it's very likely the Faint-Young-Sun paradox is basically a terrestrial problem related to the greenhouse effect rather than being a solar problem.
I suppose it would be difficult to solve or to demonstrate. It's a beautiful problem, but it's difficult to demonstrate.
Yeah. People that still have questions can also ask them this afternoon during the discussion session. Sorry. Let's thank all the speakers of this morning again. And we continue at 2 o'clock with talks on convection, magnetism, and rotation, and we throw in pulsations in the mix, I believe.